Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is David Wing. I go by Roadrunner in the IRC channels. I wanted to do a little review/tutorial on Puppy Linux. Puppy's the reason that I went back to Linux in 2006. I had, with my early experience there with Linux, I first tried Red Hat 9 in 2003, and I managed to get the xorg.com file working well enough so I could run KDE, and I ran GNOME. They had both window managers on the disk, if I remember right, and it looked pretty nice, and I liked the idea of having a really fully featured command line. And I basically spent quite a bit of time in the command line fooling around with all the different things that, you know, it kind of impressed me. You could use like wget to go and pull down files and whatnot, and there wasn't that type of option available in the Windows command line. So I had a little problem though with Red Hat 9, and that was in my computer. I was using dial-up internet at the time, so I had a Win modem in the computer, and basically the firmware that the Win modem used, it was dependent on the Windows operating system, to the point where I couldn't get it running in Linux. So I went back to my evil XP ways, and I ran XP for, you know, 2003, 2004, 2005, and then 2006 rolled around, and I wanted to go and give a computer that I had, a Pentium 2 233 megahertz computer with, had 64 megabytes of RAM, a 4 gigabyte hard disk, and I basically wanted to give it away to Goodwill, and I knew enough about Linux that they had some mini distributions. So I went and tried, at the time, DSL. I tried Feather Linux, and I tried Puppy. And basically, Puppy ran well enough. I got my graphics card working. I had 1024 by 768 resolution. I had my printer was working with CUPS. And I was using a cable modem at the time, so I was using Ethernet. So the network card, I got that working without a problem. So everything was working well, and I wound up giving the computer away to Goodwill, and I, you know, deleted. I think I used Derek's Bootnuke D-band, so I completely and totally wiped out the Windows 98 partition there, and just left Puppy Linux on there. So I was pretty happy with how it all turned out. And so today I want to do a little review there of Puppy. And for those who don't know, Puppy Linux, it comes in a ISO file size under 100 megabytes of RAM there, of memory. So it's very small distribution. And it comes with Joe's window manager is the window manager it uses. It's got it's Joe's window manager. It's lighter than say a GNOME or KDE or even an XFCE. It's very, very well suited to older systems. And some of the software that they've included with Puppy, it's got the SeaMonkey Internet Suite. So it's got the web browser. It's got a decent tabbed web browser. You go and hover over the tab, you get a little preview of what window is if you click on the tab, what window you're going to get, which is kind of neat. And the SeaMonkey Internet Suite, they've also got a mail client in there, they've got a news client in there, they've got an address book in there, and they've got Composer, which is an HTML, a GUI HTML editor, which is kind of neat. The file manager that Puppy comes with, it uses Rocks Filer. And it's a very fast file manager. I kind of prefer Nautilus, but I've been using my main system. I use an Ubuntu Intrepid system, so I'm more used to Nautilus. But Rocks is very fast. I've been using it now, you know, on and off for quite some time. So it's pretty decent. It's pretty decent system. One of the things I like about the setup they've got in Puppy, they've got this utility, this pmount mount unmount drive utility that they use. So on your desktop, on your Joe's window manager desktop, they've got all of your mountable hard drive partitions, your CD DVD drive, your USB drive. It shows them on the bottom there, your desktop. and different drive icons, and it gives you a little status light. If it's mounted, it's got a green light. If it's currently being used, it's got a yellow light, and if it's not mounted, it doesn't have any light at all on it. So it's kind of neat little utility to go and see what the status of your various partitions are. And some of the other stuff that it's got, Puppy is got a lot of software in it, even with the 100 megabyte ISO file size. It's just got a ton of software in here. I'll list some of them that they've got here. You've got Xane, which is the image scanner. It's got an MT Paint paint program in there. GT Cam, if you've got a digital camera you want to hook to it. Inklight, it's a vector editor. It's got Abbey Word is in there. It doesn't use OpenOffice. OpenOffice would really make the ISO file size quite a bit bigger. So they use Abbey Word instead. It's got expenses there. Expense tracker, track expense program. It's got Numeric. That's a spreadsheet editor, very small, lightweight spreadsheet editor. Home Bank Finance Management. It's got a Diddy Wiki. That's a personal wiki software program. Figaro's Password Manager. It's got NoCase Notes Manager. Osmo Personal Organizer. PPLog Personal Blog. It's kind of like a WordPress or Blogger software that's included on the CD. The founder of Puppy Linux, Barry Caller, he uses PPLog on his blog. So if you want to see what PPLog looks like on a server, you can go to his website and you can go and see what it looks like. And they've got Linux firewall software, so you got a firewall program in here. GPPTP PPTP VPN client. Now that's a long name. That's virtual private networking there. If you want to go and log on securely to a corporate network, it's got PNet Hood Samba shares, so you can go and view your Samba shares here on the Puppy distribution. Pure FTP DFTP server, so a CD's got a FTP server included with it. And it's got some the PupDial modem dial-up program. I should note that Puppy's well known. I haven't been using a modem in a while, but Puppy, if you know somebody who's got a modem, Puppy is really touted as being able to get a lot of modems working there with the drivers and whatnot. So it's a very, very good distribution for people on dial-up. Plus, the other thing, it's easy for them to go and download it because of the small ISO file size. To go and download something at 700 megs would be a real burden. And some of the other things they've got Axle Download Accelerator. That's you can use that from the command line too. Basically, if you're gonna pull down a file rather than using wget, you can use Axle, and it'll make multiple connections to the server to try to speed up the download for you. Other things they've got in here, they've got a pcreate torrent creator and a torrent downloader. You also have got a voice over IP client in here and an instant message client known as PSIP. You've got a Puppy Podcast Grabber. It's a Bash-based podcast grabbing client. Basically, I looked at the script, that the Bash script, and the author there of the programming there of the software, he credited Link Fesden there at the Lotta Links Tech Show, who also has a Bash podcast client known as Bash Party. He credited him with using some of his ideas there in the Puppy podcast client. And some of the other things, they've got GFTP, which is a well-known FTP client. That's also there on the CD. And for watching movies, you've got GZine Media Player. And they have the libDVD CSS file included in the distribution, so you can go. You've got decryption. Basically, Hollywood goes and decrypts their movies with CSS encryption. If you don't have that decryptor, you can't watch the movie. So Puppy has that included, basically out of the box. Some of the other things they've got in here, they've got burn ISO to CD, burn ISO file to CD. So they got an ISO. You can burn ISOs to CD. They've got an ISO master, ISO file editor. And PBurn CD DVD Blu-ray burner. So apparently, I guess if you got a Blu-ray burner, Puppy will work with it. Although I don't have a Blu-ray burner, and I have not tried that. So, and speaking of the software, other things included with the SeaMonkey Internet Suite. If you go into the browser, Flash 9 is included as well as you also have MP3 playback. So, with the Flash 9, you can go to YouTube and you can go and get your get your YouTube videos without a problem. It also has NTFS -3G, which is what you need if you want to go and read and write NTFS partitions. That's included with Puppy 2, so you can mount an NTFS partition. You go right into your Windows partition from Puppy and pretty much do whatever you need to do. It's even got a program called XF-Prot Virus Scanner, and that's that'll go into your NTFS partition or your FAT32 partition, and that'll go and scan for Windows viruses, which is a pretty neat little program. And as far as the package management system goes, it's got its own little package management system known as .pet. And basically the .pet package management system, you can go and see what they have there. They've got their own little version of Synaptic. If you use Ubuntu, you're familiar with Synaptic. And it's called the Puppy PetGet Package Manager. And if you go in there, they have it's a fair selection of software. It's not going to be 25,000 Debian packages, you know, when you go into Ubuntu Synaptic there. But they've got, like, for instance, if you don't like Xine, they've got MPlayer, and MPlayer with all the different codecs in it. So they've got open boxes in here. If you don't like the window manager, the Joe's window manager, you can go and swap it out and run open box. And they've got a little selection here of software. Bluefish, if you want to run an HTML editor. Blackbox, another window manager. So you can check that out and see what you think. And they've got Firefox 2.0.0.7. I'm not sure why they don't have Firefox 3 yet. And also with that Firefox right below it, they've got Flash Player 9, Adobe Flash Player from Mozilla. So you'd want to grab that, so that you had Flash Playback in your Firefox browser. And one of the things you need to with Puppy, because of the I should mention first with the package management, the rocks file, the file manager, is aware of the .pet extensions. So if you go online, you can go and find these pet packages. Sometimes they're listed in the Puppy forums. Sometimes they're kind of all over the place, to be honest with you. But you go and you find the .pet file, and you go and download it, and Roxfiler, you go and click on it, Roxfiler is aware of that file, and it'll go and try to install it as a package. But you need to be aware with Puppy. You probably will run into a situation where you're going to want to compile from source, just because there's not the huge range of packages available like you get in the Debian repositories. One thing you're going to need if you do choose to compile from source, because it can't compile, Puppy 4 can't compile out of source out of the box. You need to get a file, and it's known as devx_411.sfs. The SFS stands for the squash file system. It's a compressed file system that Puppy uses. And basically, the 411 stands for the version, the current version of Puppy. So you want to get the version that you're running of Puppy. And you go and you download that devx_411.sfs file. And what you need to do after that is you go and you put that file in your /mount/home directory. And that's the same directory your personal storage file is. And I'll get to that. There's this personal storage file known as pup_save.2fs, and I'll get to that in a second. But basically, you put your DevX file there under /mount/home, and the next time you boot Puppy, you'll be able to compile C programs. It's got Python is included in that too, so it basically you can start downloading and building some programs from source there. And I should note, once you go and build a package from source, there's an easy little program they have in here that'll go, in addition to making the package, or rather in addition to compiling the source, it'll also go and make you a pet package that the Puppy package management system is aware of. And all you gotta do is you do just like you normally compile a package. You do your /configure, then you do your make, which goes and compiles the package, and then where you normally do the make install, which actually installs the binaries into your Linux box, you do instead you do a new the number 2 dir space make space install. And what that'll do for you, that will go and it'll do the make install like you normally will, but it'll also, this is direct from the site here, the new 2 dir is a script that'll execute the make install, and in addition will create a directory with all the installed files and directories in it. And basically the script that he's written here, it'll go and ask you some simple questions. And then there's one other step you need to do past that to go and actually get your pet package. And that is after it makes that directory with all the binaries and whatnot, you go and do a dir to pet space and then the directory name. And what that'll do is that'll go and make the pet package. It'll ask you a couple questions. It'll ask you, like, where's the mini icon located for Joe's window manager, so you got an icon with your installed package. It'll ask you what type of architecture you're going and compiling the package, putting the pet package together for. It'll go and ask you, for instance, with the dependencies, it'll ask you if you want to go and list any dependencies. So you gotta it's preferable to put that in there too. And once you build the pet package, what I would do is I would try to run it, like when you boot off the CD, try to do what they call it's a puppy pfix equals RAM option. What they'll do, that'll ignore the save file that you've got, and I'll get to the save file in a second. That'll ignore your personal save file, and that will run puppy, just a virgin puppy, basically a standard install puppy. And you can go and try to run that pet package that you made on a standard install puppy to make sure that it'll work on other systems before you go and, you know, upload it to a forum or host it yourself on your own website. So that's just something I thought I'd let you know about. And there's one other thing I should mention about speaking about the packages. Now, puppy, the previous version of puppy version 3, what they did with that is that was built from Slackware 12 packages. So it's got a pretty high degree of compatibility with Slackware 12 packages. Basically you can go and use the packages. They've got a program called a pet package called gslapped, and that's what you use for installing Slackware binary packages. They also have a little utility called tgz2pet, and what that'll do is you just do a tgz2pet space and then the name of the Slackware package, .tgz at the end of that, and that'll go and try to make a pet package, a puppy package for you from the Slackware package. Now there is one little caveat about that. Puppy 4, they compiled it from source, so it's not really designed to be, you know, Slackware compatible. They do, and I'm reading from the puppylinux.com site, it says, however, we have a compatibility collection of packages that can be installed, which achieves a very high level of compatibility, meaning that you'll be able to download and install a wide variety of Slackware 12 binary packages. So pretty much, you're still probably able to go and use your Slackware packages here in Puppy 4.0. And some of the other things that I wanted to mention about Puppy Linux is you can go and make your own custom version of Puppy Linux. And basically, a lot of people have gone and done this. They're known as Puplets is the name of what these community contributed custom respins of Puppy are known as, Puplets. You can go and see some of the Puplets they've got here at the site there, www.puppylinux.org/download/puplets. And some of the interesting things that they've done here, they've got one Puplet in particular here, a MacPup 4.11. This was based on Puppy 4.1.1. It's an ISO file size 101 megabytes. He's got a very nice blue background to it. It kind of looks like a, I don't want to say a helix to it, but it's a very it's a wavy theme to it. It's a very, very sharp looking very sharp looking background. His goal here is to try to make make Puppy look like Mac OS X basically, and he's got he used ICE window manager rather than the Joe's window manager. He used a modified brush metal theme for ICE window manager, so it's got a very silvery silver look to it. He used W bar, which is basically like it's a launch bar just like Mac OS X has, and it you know, as I say, the distribution the purpose of it is to make the Puppy look very much like Mac OS X. And he's pretty much, it looks very much like it to me. He's also included Firefox 2 and XMMS Player in the distribution, so you might want to check that out. Another one is BoxPop. This is also based on 4.1.1. It's got an ISO file size 94 megabytes. And in this, he went and built it on OpenBox Window Manager. There's no taskbar, no icon support for the desktops. It's very, very clean-looking desktop. And you get access to applications by right-clicking on the desktop to get a context menu. And he's using WBAR for launching applications, also using Conky, which gives you system information. And it looks like he's got Conky here in the top right and bottom right of the desktop. He's got a very, very nice very nice purple background to it. Very, very interesting there. He's using Thunar for the file manager rather than the ROX filer. Another one here, just go over two more here, is Budapup Dingo. Dingo is Puppy 4.0. And it's 168 megabytes ISO file size. And the reason this is interesting is because he went and used the Enlightenment E17 window manager, which is kind of it's kind of like a comp is effects, but it's meant to run on much lighter and older hardware. And it's been the Enlightenment project's been around a lot longer than comp is or barrel or anything like that. And you can see here he's got on the bottom there he's got the fire effect there, and he's gone and added Opera 9.5, IceCat, Gizmo, and a lot of E17 mods and backgrounds to this distribution. And it looks pretty sharp. If you're an Enlightenment fan, there you basically can get a version of Puppy where it's running right out of the box. And another thing that I wanted to mention was a Dingo Plus, and this is a Puplet 255 megabytes in size. And the reason I mention this is because nowadays everybody and his brother's buying a triple E PC. And Dingo Plus is a straightforward remaster of Dingo, customized for the Asus triple E PC. It includes plenty of extra packages as well as all the required triple E PC drivers. The wireless works straight out of the box, although you'll have to load the ATL2 module if you want to use the wired Ethernet. It says brightness and wireless functions keys work, but the volume and mute function keys don't. But you control the volume using the icon, the taskbar, and I've included Xbind keys if you want to set them up. He's included OpenOffice Remote Desktop Client, Python/PyGTK Programming Facility, so he's included some software with it there. And basically, if you want to try Puppy out on a triple E PC, They've got a Puppet ISO already made for you. The other advantage with Puppy is they say with the with the netbooks, with the flash drives that they have, they don't use a regular hard disk there with the motor and spindle and all that other stuff. That because they're using the flash drives, they save on battery life. That's one of the big things with the new netbooks. But with Puppy, you can load the system to RAM. So you're not, the operating system is not constantly accessing the hard drive. So you're saving a lot of power that way. So that's one of the big features with the Puppy distribution. That's in its ability to load itself entirely to RAM. That you're really, if you're looking to maximize your battery life on your little netbook there, it's definitely got some merit to it. And I wanted to mention with when you run Puppy, you're gonna, it's a live CD. The first time you run it, you go and you run the live CD. You go into the distribution. You go and make whatever changes, window manager. If you want to change the window manager, whatever programs you want to add, whatever customization you want to do to the theme, your documents, all this other stuff. When you exit out of Puppy, it's going to ask you where you want to save this file. They call it pup_save.2fs is the name of the file. And that file is all your changes that you've made. And basically, when you go and make that file, you have a choice. You can either not use encryption, you can use light encryption, or you can use heavy encryption. And if you go and choose to use either light or heavy encryption, the next time you boot up Puppy, it's going to ask you for a password. So I should preface this by saying one of the knocks on Puppy is that it runs as root. You're running as root all the time in Puppy. It's not like Debian or Fedora or something like that, where you're using a multi-user operating system. Puppy, you're root all the time. So this obviously is a big problem if you got a family or something like that, and you've got multiple users using the same computer. If you're running Puppy, everybody can see what everybody else is doing. But with this pup_save.2fs file, with this encryption ability added in, I think it was added in Puppy 4.0, you can go and have multiple instances of this pup_save.2fs file. You know, you name them differently, so you might add the username afterwards, after the pup_save part, you'd add the username. And that way you might have 5 or 6 users on the system. They all have their different .2fs files, and Puppy, when you start up Puppy, it goes and looks on your hard drive, it looks on all the partitions. You can put the pup_save.2fs file, you can put on an NTFS partition, you can put on a USB drive. Basically, Puppy, when it runs, it's going to look for where that file is. And it gives you a little option, you know, which one you want to pick. If you've got 3 or 4, it just numbers them. And you pick which file you want, which personal save file you want to use for that session of Puppy. So, with the encryption, they've diminish the problem with the root business. I'm not a security expert, so there's a lot of flames going back and forth in the forums about the root thing. So I'm just going to mention that it's root, and you can make your own decisions based on the encryption of the personal save file and whatnot. And that's pretty much all I wanted to mention concerning Puppy Linux. I think I covered just about anything. I would go and give it a try. Certainly, if you have older hardware, it's definitely got quite a bit of merits. It uses a modern Linux kernel. It uses 2.6.21.7 and uses Xorg 7.3. And so you've got, you know, as far as support for devices and whatnot, you're using a very modern kernel. And it's also got, if you do have an older system, something you can't get to working with Xorg, they have Xvesser included in it, you know, and that's basically supposed to work with just about everything under the sun. So they have that as a backup. So the project got a lot of merit to it, and I would give it I'd give it a try and see how you feel about it. And with that, that's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you very much, and good day.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.